morning. How are you guys doing? I seem really loud in here. For those of you at home, you're not having to experience this, but is it ringing for you guys? I think it is. So, welcome. I had one more thing I just wanted to kind of throw in to the announcements. We are beginning the season of Lent begins this week. And most of the time, we would have all kinds of things that would kind of kick that off and follow through that. And then as we approach Easter, Lent is that time that we begin to prepare our hearts for Easter. And so wanting you to know that, because online, we actually have a devotional that if you guys are interested, whether you're at home or whether you're here, if you're interested, you can go online and download an online devotional so that we can kind of be preparing together as we get ready for the season of Easter. It's kind of amazing that we're already talking about Easter, isn't it? I mean, it was just like, it doesn't seem like that long ago that we had to cancel the Easter services. So it'll be good to be together this year in some form or fashion. So get ready for that. Hey, also today, do you know what today is? Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Hope I didn't send some of you guys into a panic with that, right? Don't worry. If you weren't ready for it, there's still time. So, you know, get out there and buy those cards and gifts or whatever you might. Unless, of course, you know, you're watching this later in the week, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. Sorry about that. You know, I was reading this past week, I was reading a little bit about Valentine's Day and how it started, how it began. And it didn't start with cards and candy. Imagine that. It actually started February 14th. In 296 AD, long time ago, 296 AD, there was a follower of Jesus named Valens, or his name in Latin was Valentinus. He was, on February 14th, he was beaten and beheaded outside of Rome. That's what we're celebrating on Valentine's Day. He was beheaded because he had tried to share Jesus with the emperor. He had tried to share about Jesus with the current emperor, Claudius II. Now, I have no idea how we got from that to what we do today with, you know, Cupid and candy and boxes of chocolates. You know, I don't know. I don't know what that transition was. But it made me think about, it just kind of made me wonder how in the world it is that sometimes that we go through our lives, and we, even those days of celebration like today, that year after year will come up, and we have no idea about how they really started, about what made that date noteworthy initially. And that doesn't just have to do with our holidays. I think there are many of us who have grown up, we've gone to church, or we have been involved in a church, we've been, and so prior to COVID, you know, now you can watch online, you can get on anytime you want because we're streaming and we make that available, and that's great. But it used to be we'd come every Sunday. And I don't know that many of us know why we came on Sundays. We didn't ever think about it. Why did they choose Sunday to worship? Well, because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. And so those who followed Jesus said, you know, if there's a day we should get together to celebrate, it'd be that day. So some of us, you know, it's like we don't maybe think about that. Sometimes I think there's a fog, not just about why and when we worship, but even about who we worship. We don't know much about the God that we worship. In the book of John, chapter 1, this disciple of Jesus Christ. This is a book in the Bible. It's called the Gospel of John because one of Jesus' disciples, John, wrote these things down about the life of Jesus. And he starts out in chapter 1, and he's saying some things about God, and he makes it apparent that God was not content to leave us in the dark. And that's why Jesus came. So let's, as we get ready to hear from God's word and get our hearts ready to hear God speak to us, let's stand up together. If you're at home, I invite you to join with us, to stand with us as we listen for God's voice speaking to us. John 1, chapter 1, verse 14, and then verse 16 through 18 is what we're going to be reading. Now, John 1, the first verse of that chapter begins like this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now it's talking about Jesus being the very word, the very message, living message that God sent. And so it picks up in verse 14, our passage, and it says, "And the word, Jesus, became flesh, and he lived among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Last week we talked about grace. This week we're going to talk about truth. "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, in the heart of the Father, he's the one who made him known." God wasn't content to leave us in the dark about who he is. So he came. You know, sometimes it's really hard to know what to believe, what's true, right? It's hard to figure that out. It's hard to know what story to believe, because we know there are those who are out there telling various stories, and sometimes they're fantastical stories. But what John said is that God was not content to leave us in the dark, but instead he showed up and he lived among us so that we could know who he was. But even with that, even knowing, seeing Jesus living among us, even with that, aren't there times that in our heart, in our soul, there's still this tension around what's true? There's that question that goes, but I just don't want to be duped again, right? I just don't want to be fooled again by somebody telling a story without it being true. I hope this is true, but there's that tension. We've been talking this series about that our soul, the soul intention. Today we're going to be talking about truth intention. Father, we want to hear from you this morning. We want to hear your word. You have said that you sent your Spirit so that we might know the truth. You have sent the Spirit of truth to lead us into the truth. So we pray that he would be the one speaking to us today, that he would be the one teaching us and teaching us how to know the truth, how to be shaped by the truth so that we become more and more those people that you've called us to be, those people that you intended for us to be, and reflect your Son, the Word of truth made flesh, that more and more of him would come through our lives. More and more of the work of your Spirit would come through our lives, that we would know, that this world would know that you are truly the God who keeps his promises, who keeps his love towards us to thousands and thousands of generations. So God, come and be in this place, shape us, and let us, our hearts and our ears and our minds be open to hearing your word this morning. Pray it in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. All right, so I read this past week, some of you guys are gonna like this, I read this past week that four-year-olds have the capacity to ask up to 200 to 300 questions per day, right? You know what that is? That is a question every 2 minutes for 8 solid hours. Right now, some of our parents of preschoolers are realizing, that's why I'm so tired all the time, right? I mean, it's just constant, just learning about this world that they find themselves in. You know, another study, it showed that later that rate of asking questions drops dramatically by the time they hit school, and they stop asking maybe so many questions. Now, I don't know that our curiosity drops any. It's just that we're not inviting everybody into that journey to find the answers, right? We're not asking everybody around us where we might find those answers. But what we find is that there's something very human about this drive to know about what's going on, this drive to pursue knowledge, to pursue understanding, to pursue really the truth, and to find out what is the truth. Now, what is it that drives that in us? Well, I think one of the things that drives it is wonder. You know, we drop into this world, it's fascinating, and we try as quick as possible, just through the wonder of discovery, to find out as much as we can about how this world works. It's just, it's fantastic, it's fascinating, it's just an amazing world that God has created. But very quickly, and tell me if this isn't true, added to wonder also becomes this, it comes in this worry, right? Because what begins is a wonder, I wonder what's over the next horizon. I wonder what I'll find there. Well, you start learning that everything over the next horizon isn't all that great, right? So you start worrying, I better find out what's over the next horizon because it might eat me, right? It might come crashing into my life and disrupt everything I have going on. And so we see these two drives of both wonder and worry as we try to fill those gaps in our knowledge and our understanding of what we know, as we pursue understanding, as we pursue the truth about this world. And then in the midst of that, we also find that with these gaps, there are often those who will come alongside and they'll take advantage of those gaps. They'll fill those gaps with all kinds of nonsense, and it's usually so that they can either take advantage of us, so that they can have the advantage at our expense. And so we make finding out this pursuit of truth, we make it a task in life to find the truth, to understand the truth. One, for the joy of it, but also for the protection of it. And this drive stays with us for the rest of our lives. And in that, we can see there's tension in that, isn't there? Truth just doesn't come with like a bow wrapped around it. It's not like a box of chocolates that you just, oh, good. There's tension in that. Constantly, there's tension around the fact that we don't know everything yet. And we're constantly learning how much more we don't understand. There's tension even when we start seeing these gaps. There's tension around the fact that these gaps, we discover, oh, there's something I don't know. And that might be dangerous for us. And so there's this urge to, I need to fill that gap quickly. And then when we do fill the gap, there's the tension around the fact, well, is that truth that I filled that with? Or is that just some of the nonsense that floats around in this world at times, the different people throw out there? And you know what I'm talking about. Right, you guys know what I'm talking about. How many times are we worried by the gaps in what we know, worried about what we don't know? Whether it's about parenting, whether it's about running our finances, whether it's about how to build a good relationship, and we go into a relationship and say, I don't know what I'm doing here. Maybe it's about God. Where we go into that, we go, it worries us how little we know about God, how little we know about spiritual things and about eternity. Maybe it is, how often is it that we have something we think we do know? And the tension is because all of a sudden somebody comes in with a different perspective. They say, I don't see it that way. Or else they come in, something's entered into the equation that we didn't even think about, and it changes everything. We worry about, man, do I really understand this? Or how many times are there those things that we fill those gaps with and we end up finding out, you know what, that wasn't true at all. I've been believing this my whole life, and it's absolutely, there's nothing right about it. There's tension. There's tension in truth because there's tension in the very pursuit of truth. There's not only tension in the pursuit of truth, but we also find that there's tension because of that, because of the gaps that we have, there's tension in the practice of the truth. We think when we're gathering information and we're gathering information about what lies over the horizon and all those things we don't understand yet, we think that by gathering that, we'll know how to act then. We'll know how to live in a way that will keep us safe, that will keep us safe and it will make us happy. And so we go and we gather all this because we hope that will keep us safe from those threats over the next horizon, or keep us from being taken advantage of, or we'll find greater joy the more that we discover in this world. And so we think that will teach us how to live in a way. It'll teach us how to act. But we find there's actually tension in that, because one of the things that I learned is that the more I learn, the more I find out I don't know, right? And I become almost, at times, I become more and more tentative about how I'm living because I'm not sure that I really do understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it seems like the older that we get, the more that we understand how little we do know and how tentative we actually should be, how humble we should be. And every time you think you have your hands around it, it seems to just change right in front of you, right? If you've ever been a parent, you think, you know, I'm doing this parent thing. I'm rocking this thing. And then your kid turns into a teenager. You're going, duh, what happened? They change into a little adult. And they're making their own decision. You're going, I got to rethink this whole thing. Or else you cruise through like two or your three kids and the third one comes along, just throws you for a loop, right? Or maybe it's that you're going along in your career, and at the beginning of the career, you chose it because it looked like it was going to be the thing that just checked off every box. It was the thing you wanted. You're getting to travel the world. You're getting to, you know, go out and see dozens of new people every day, every week. But like 20, 30 years into this thing, and you're going, I'm just tired. I don't like this travel. I don't, and something changed in that. Or you're in a relationship, and at the beginning it seems so vital and alive, and now you're not sure you even know the person that you're looking across the table at. And you're not sure they know you. Going, when did things change? Because the truth that you thought you had in your hands, all of a sudden it seemed to change, and there's tension around that. If we're honest, we realize that we spend most of our lives wondering how we can authentically live truth out, how we can authentically get a hold of it, but how do you live it out with integrity, with authenticity, the truth that you know? Because there's tension in the pursuit of truth, there's tension in the practice of truth. There's tension also in the purpose, understanding the purpose of truth. You know, Jesus said in John 8, 31 through 32, he said, as my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're going, that's what I'm looking for, right? So you grab hold of that, you try and grab hold of the truth that Jesus is talking about, and as you're going along, you're going, what freedom is he talking about, right? What is he talking about? I thought at the beginning, and I was taught this, you know, if you hold on to the truth of Jesus, one of the freedoms you'll find, freedom from sin. Well, man, I found in my life, I continue to make dumb choices. And not only dumb choices, but choices sometimes intentionally, and they end up messing up my life, the life of the people around me. I still sin. I look around me and I say, you know what? I think they do too. I'm not sure. Maybe some of you guys have beat that one, but I haven't. We go, okay, maybe not that. Maybe it's freedom from the effects of this world. Maybe Jesus grabbing hold of the truth and becoming his disciple, maybe that'll save me from all the negative stuff that goes on in this world. But I look around and you know what? We still get sick. We still have to deal with death. We have to deal with problems and challenges and disasters and prejudice and bias. The effects of this world. You go, man, yes, God may come in at times and he rescues us out of situations where that is, but I don't see by any means this like complete freedom. Well, maybe he just means a sense of freedom deep in our soul. But we just talked about how truth itself brings tension into our soul. Mercy, grace itself brings this tension into our lives. God doesn't say there's going to be freedom from the tension. I think sometimes people quote this verse and they hope that actually you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And what they're hoping is that actually means that freedom even from God himself messing with your life. If I just learn enough, if I just get enough truth, I won't even need God around. He can quit messing with me. But is that really what this verse is talking about? Is that what Jesus was saying truth offers? I think what we don't understand this freedom, and because of that, we don't understand truth, and because of that, there's tension. There's tension that comes with truth. So if we look back at that first verse where it says that we read this morning, it says the word became flesh and lived among us, and he showed himself the glory that he had, full of grace and truth. Right? And we partook of that glory, full of that fullness. We partook of that grace and truth. And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth were given by Jesus. And we say, well, I'm not sure that that's such a blessing then. If all this tension comes in with knowing the truth, then Jesus just seems to bring in more tension then. And you know what? He does. Because it ends up that God is not talking about freeing us from the tension. In fact, the tension is part of what that struggle that we go through is part of what shapes us. And that struggle with and against and because of truth is what actually molds us and makes us more like Jesus. It's only when we come to terms with the fact that there is tension in the pursuit, and there will always be tension in the practice, and there will always be tension in understanding the purpose of truth. It's not going to relieve us of that. But when we come to terms with the fact that it will always be there, do we start understanding the gift that truth is, that gift of God, and the gift that it was that Jesus brought this truth. First, we find that when it comes to the pursuit of truth, we can come to terms with it when we quit getting so frustrated as if we're supposed to understand it all, that that's going to be our salvation somehow. Do you guys know that right now we double in our knowledge? In what we know as human beings, we double every 12 months. It used to be something like every 1,500 years, you know, but now it's every 12 months, about once a year. And they're quickly moving towards where they know that we're going to be doubling our knowledge base about every 12 hours. And they know that we are going to have far more that we can know than we're capable of knowing. We don't even have room. They haven't even they don't even see the bottom of the barrel yet of all the knowledge that there is to know. And so to think that somehow our salvation is going to come from having the truth about everything is absurd. We're not even capable of that. We don't have time to ask all the questions to get all the answers. And so we find that the pursuit of truth, there will always be this tension that we don't know. But within that pursuit, there's a comfort in knowing, you know what? It's about the process. It's not about grabbing hold of the thing. And the pursuit of truth is a lifelong process. And some of the relief in that is not just that we'll be learning for the rest of our lives. We need to understand that. We need to know that for a fact. We're going to be learning. We're going to be shaping and refining, not truth. Truth doesn't change, but our understanding of it does. Our comprehension of it does. We're going to be working on that for the rest of our lives. You know where the grace is in that? Is that we're no longer alone in the process. Jesus said, you know, the truth that he brings is not just that I'm going to tell you the answers about everything. In fact, I think he put us in a world where we can't possibly know the answers about everything so that we'll quit trying to know the answers about everything. The one thing we do need to know is that he has said he's bringing the truth, the freedom that says, you know what, but I, who do know the answers for everything, I will walk with you in your pursuit, in that process that goes on as truth shapes you for the rest of your life. That's the freedom, that we're not alone in it. But we need to know that process, we're going to be learning. You know, there are any number of topics that we go into a day and we say, wow, you know, things about what God's word has said, and we think we got a handle on it, and then we'll find out that just one word means something that we didn't think it meant. And it changes the whole thing. Or that Jesus, in his teaching, he was out there and he's referring to some custom that we had no idea about. And then somebody finds out, hey, this is what he's talking about. And we go, wow, that changes everything. Sometimes what it is that we will have a verse like, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And we'll take it completely out. And we'll just say, I just want to use that as a bumper sticker. That's all I want. And then we read the verses around it and we go, oh, that didn't mean what I thought it. That means something totally, wow, okay. And we have to, that process is going to go on for the rest of our lives. And I can assure you, it doesn't help just to go to seminary, right? It doesn't help to be a pastor. I've told you guys the story. This was long after I had graduated from seminary. This was long after I had been a pastor for years. At this point, I was a senior pastor leading a church. And my baby brother, 5 years younger, baby brother comes up and he's talking to me. Makes him sound like a little guy. He's taller, bigger than I am. He's my baby brother. And all he did was he showed me Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. And I felt like it took everything that I thought I knew, it dumped it out on the table, and it rearranged it and put it back together and put it back. That was after I had learned everything by then, right? This is a lifelong process. And when we come to terms with that, we will understand that it's a lifelong process. And Jesus said, you know what? I have given you the Spirit of truth so that he might lead you into truth. That means we're not there yet. And he's leading us into it. But that is a daily thing that happens for us as we walk with him. But that's truth. That's tension. When it comes to the practice of truth, we find that, you know, we're not supposed to get it right. We're not going to get it right. We're supposed to work at it, but we're probably not going to get it right. We're not going to get it all right by next week or by next year or by next decade. But instead, we're supposed to, again, this is supposed to be a priority that we place in our lives. Last week, we talked about grace being a priority that we anchor our lives to. Truth has to be a priority. Sometimes we look at those and we say, you know what? Those seem like opposite things. If you're gracious, you're kind of letting up on truth. If you're truthful, then you're kind of tightening up and not being quite as gracious, right? That's how we think about them. But he says, no, I want you to take both of those. I want you to work with the tension of trying to work with both of those in your life so that the grace of God keeps you from becoming so rigid and legalistic in the truth of God, but that the truth of God actually gives you some boundaries for the grace of God so you don't just go wandering out there with everything. When you talk about God's grace and God's love, that it has content to it. It has a grip to it. But that's the practice of truth, and it needs to become that priority. And we say, well, how can it become that priority? And again, he says, you know what? Again, I'm not asking you to figure this out on your own. I'm going to walk with you. My Spirit's going to walk with you and teach you, remind you of the things that I've said. And actually, if you will let me, I will show you. I will live through you. If you start paying attention to what I'm saying, I will nudge you. I will give you those. I'll remind you of the words that will be the right words for that moment so that you know how. You know what to do. You know the life that I'm calling to so that your life will begin to. I'm asking you to walk with me. Jesus has this verse and he says, put my yoke on you. I'll be on the one side, you be on the other, and you can learn from me. We learn how to reflect Jesus. We learn how to reflect that life that God has called us into. The practice of truth. Third, when it comes to the purpose of truth, we need to see that it's not just this freedom from everything, but instead it's this freedom to the truth. And the truth becomes like this unyielding, this life-shaping presence. So to me, I always had this picture of like truth is like an anvil, you know, the truth of God. And we bang up against it with our lives over and over again. And over time, we find that the truth hasn't changed at all, but our lives sure have. They've taken the shape of truth as we let it do its work because it is. Truth doesn't move. You know, in John 8, 31 and 32, the process that Jesus talked about, he said, if you will be my disciples, but he said, you know what the mark of my disciple is? If you will abide in my word, if you make my word your home, if you'll constantly go back to it, if you'll constantly let it wash over you, if you will bang yourself up against it and let it shape you, if you will take your thoughts and run them through the filter of my word, of what I've said, of this truth, if you'll constantly just interact with me, of what I've said, you'll find that your life will be shaped. The truth will start to form you. And you guys, there's tension in that, isn't there? Sometimes we don't like the way that God's trying to shape us. We're like, God, I don't want to go there. When we find out that one day, you know, that we find out, oh, God said, you know, I'm supposed to forgive people, but I'm not sure I can let go of that. He says, listen, I'll be with you, right? Because what is it that we don't want to give up some things like that? We don't want to give up our greed. We don't want to give up our hoarding what we can get for ourselves. We don't want to give up the vengeance that we want to take on others and the self-righteousness we feel when we get back at others for things that they've done. We don't want to give that stuff up. But God says, give it up. You say, yeah, but then I lose ground. He says, no, I'll be with you. This is truth. Let yourself be shaped by it. We find that the purpose of truth is not actually to remove that tension from us. Instead, it brings incredible tension. The purpose of truth, though, is to shape us. Not just to free us up to be whatever we want, but to shape us to be what God always intended. In all of this, what we find out is that, you know, the truth is, it's a pursuit, it's a practice. There's a purpose to it, but ultimately the truth is a person. Truth is a person. It's not a bunch of facts that we go out. We don't go out and ask enough questions that we come up with truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said, you know what? I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And you don't get to the Father except through me. This isn't about just filling our heads and figuring out how to protect ourselves from this. This is about learning how to walk with a person, a real live person named Jesus. How do we do that every day? And man, there's a lot of tension in that. Any of you who have ever had a relationship with anybody knows there's tensions in a relationship. There always are. Not, in this case, it's not really on his side, except he keeps pressing us into the truth. We don't always like that. And but he says, learn how to walk with me. That's where you'll learn truth. Learn how to walk with me in the pursuit of understanding life. Learn how to walk with me in the practice of how you live that out. If you want to know how to live, look to me. What would I have done? How am I saying, this is what I want to do through you? Follow me in that. Because he says, you know, in that, there's immense freedom. There's a freedom we can't even comprehend. There's this freedom that where we know that in our pursuit, it's not just that we're alone. Yeah, we're in this process that's going to shape us into something we can't even imagine. In this practice, we're going to reflect someone that we can't even imagine. How in the world would that come through me? And the purpose that we are going to become, that we are going to be used, we're going to be shaped to be those who God lifts up, and he says, you know, these are my kids. These are my own. These are the ones I loved. This is what I saw in them before they even understood the questions they needed to be asking. This is what I knew they could be. These are my people who have been shaped by truth. These are my truth bearers. These are the ones who reflect my son, the word, who came in the fullness of grace and truth. You guys, there's immense tension that God brings into our soul through grace, through truth, through all these things. And there's tension, but it is in that tension that he forms us into likeness of his son, Jesus. So I really hope that our prayer, you know, my prayer is that we don't try and get rid of that tension. We don't try and avoid it. We don't try and find an easier way, but that we lean into it. We become, even in these times that are so hard to figure out, how am I supposed to live out either my faith? How am I supposed to be a good parent? How am I supposed to be a good spouse? What am I supposed to be in my workplace or in my church or in my community? He says, lean into that tension. Keep asking, but keep looking to the one who is the truth. You know, 296, Valentinus laid his life down, and he would have said he was laying his life down for the truth. But it wasn't a pursuit, wasn't a practice, wasn't a bunch of facts, wasn't a purpose. He laid his life down for a person. He laid his life down because he had tried to share a person For some of you, that may be a new concept. What does it mean to know the person who is the truth? But I'd encourage you, you know, wherever you are, wherever you're sitting, whatever you're doing, that you would lean into that. That lifelong practice of not just learning facts, but of knowing the person of Jesus Christ.